Joining us in the studio is Jim Boyd. He's executive director of the Cook County Chamber of Commerce, and he's also on a group of with a group of residents who are studying and trying to update the county land use plan, and was subsequently at the September 17th public input meeting. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, talk about the meeting. Was it a success?
Oh, it was a great success. We had, you know, land use plans are kind of nerdy. Now, I kind of love them, but that's me.
okay.
But we succeeded getting about 50 people to turn out at the community center to talk about this. And I thought that was a great number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was a lively discussion. You kind of had to listen carefully sometimes to hear what was underneath some of the rather provocative rhetoric. Yeah, I think everybody was pretty much on the same page. Everybody basically saying, you know, keep your interference in my life to a minimum. We know you got to do some of it, but don't mess with my life more than you have to.
Well, the existing plan is how many years old?
17. And actually, it's 34 because...
Right, there wasn't much of a revision.
No, it was a huge revision in one sense. The original plan was written in 1980, and it went way over on the development side. It envisioned the industrial parks and the rest.
Mm.
And then in 1997, they revised it, and it went the other way. There was a building boom at the time, and they were afraid we were going to overdevelop. So it had kind of a defensive and environmental posture to it. So now we're 17 years later again, and we're trying to update it.
Uh-huh. Well, I know a lot of this was brought to the fore when sled dog kennels and that kind of stuff, and all that arcane language, far one, far two,
right,
that kind
right.
of stuff.
But yeah.
That's pretty much what you can put on a piece of property that you own.
Exactly. And, you know, the sled dog is a good example. There should be a place in this county.
Yep.
Where sled dog kennels can peacefully exist, and that no new neighbor can come in and say, I don't like the barking dogs, and or whatever. You know, so defining where that is, and there has been a little discussion in our group about where that is an important thing to do.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you were advising chamber members to do was to... think about whether or not the county officials are flexible enough or too flexible or not flexible enough. And let's start that discussion with septic systems, since that's always at the head of the list.
Yeah, septics is an interesting issue. The county has made a significant amount of progress, I think, in the last few months in addressing what was a way too zealous approach. They've come back toward more reasonable,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping that we won't hear too many of those stories in the future about, the only place I could put my septic mound on my property, one corner of it was 2 feet too close to my well, so I wasn't allowed to build. That's nonsense. That shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
What I hope we can do to further push the county along on the septic ordinance, but on other things, in the guiding principles of the plan we rewrite, is that the county is there to service. And the county employees will bend over backwards to find a way to make our plans work. They have to enforce the law. And actually, in the septic area, they don't have a lot of flexibility because a lot of this is mandated by the state. But within that, work with folks, you know, have the attitude that we're not going to just erect roadblocks. We're going to work with people to try to figure out the best way to go forward.
Well, when you're putting in a septic system, or you're putting in a well, or even putting in a road, you've put in a lot of money before you even start getting the lumber to build your house.
You have, yeah, you have. And we have an interesting thing here in Cook County right now that I hope we also can address in this plan, and that is that you know, the county has a need, a legitimate need, to reinspect septics on occasion. But it doesn't have a good trigger for that. So what is fastened on as a trigger is a building permit for something else. It might not even affect living space that would increase the load on a septic tank. But if you apply for that permit, it triggers a requirement that your septic be inspected. I've gotten a lot of stories from folks that say, you know, I avoid getting that building permit because I do not want to trigger the inspection of my septic, because that could cost me thousands and thousands of dollars. And so they just don't do it. And that's a really bad situation. One, they're not getting building permits to do the things they really would like to do. Two, their septics aren't getting inspected. And the third is that it leads me to ask the question, is it because their septics are really failing, or is it because the county has so messed up the attitude toward septic inspections that they've created an unreasonable, unwarranted fear? And I'm hoping in the guiding principles for this land use plan, we can say, come on, folks, let's not do this. Let's find a way that everybody can get their needs met. The county for a septic inspection, the people for a reasonable building permit, and keep costs to a minimum.
Would it be a part of that plan to incorporate some device, some financial device, some way in which the cost of installation or revamping a system or installing would be spread over a period of time?
There is such a system in the county. You've just exhausted my knowledge of that system, but I believe that there is a program in the county where people can amortize the cost of septic upgrades over time.
Mm-hmm.
So the county acts basically as the bank. Don't quote me on that. I can't really say that on the radio, can I? But I believe that there is such a plan.
Well, I think so too, but because they've talked about it, and I know they've also talked a great deal about some of the other issues with respect to either septic or wastewater, this kind of thing, and have incorporated some new systems that didn't used to be legal in the county, but then are. So at least they're working in that direction, it seems like.
Yeah. The difficulty for this committee, this group of people that's working on this, is the decision, the original decision to rewrite or update the 1997 plan rather than write a whole new plan. At this meeting the other night with these 50 people, we basically asked them, what's your vision for Cook County 20 years from now? What would you like it to look like? And then we listened. That has never occurred with the committee. The question to the committee was and is, does the language that we wrote in 1997 still work? And so we spent all of our time arguing about that language rather than having an opportunity to say, here's what I would like the county to look like 20 years down the road. And that's a problem in the process that's really causing us to struggle a lot, the difficulty of updating a plan that's the situations between 97 and 2014 are just so different that the language doesn't apply very well.
The county has changed dramatically over that period of time.
Well, one way has changed, and is that the 1997 plan forecast a population in 2015 that had already been exceeded before the plan was printed.
Really?
That to me, that's a problem. I mean, I know it was 97, and the decennial census didn't come to 2000. So there was but there are updates and things. They missed that. They missed the people drawing the plan. Missed that we are already over the population they were projecting for 2015.
Well, as you pointed out to the folks that received your message, the chamber folks, that there isn't a whole lot of land here in which to do very much development on, and therefore it would seem that if laws of supply and demand have any play, that what there is needs to be carefully considered because there isn't a lot of it.
Yeah. If you think about it, if you exclude Grand Portage, which has its own land use, exclude the Superior National Forest, exclude the State Forest, exclude the City of Grand Marais, you're down to 6 or 7% of the county that we're talking about. And and how you use that land with the rest of it, or much of the rest of it, dedicated to environmental preservation, logging, which we don't do much of anymore, unfortunately, leading to an unhealthy forest. What we do with the small piece of land that's in private hands is really important. And I think that the well-being, the prosperity of the human community should be center to that plan. This is a land use plan being written by human beings for the human community to prosper and live healthy lives within the context of taking care of the environment, but not, as my view is, the 97 plan was the principal thing about this plan is that we protect the environment, and oh, by the way, there are some human beings who also live around here too. Mm-hmm. And that We need to reverse that.
Well, and you're saying in slightly different way what was brought out as a loud and clear as a value for the future and the development of Cook County that came about as a result of the GO team, which basically people are not against development, are not against change. They just want it to be sustainable and take into account the situation that we've got here in Cook County, which is unique.
That's exactly right. That's exactly where my perspective on this plan comes from, was from the work on the GO team. Consistently we heard from people we interviewed at the GO team that the land use, we heard two things. One is that our land use regulations are too stringent, or that our land use regulations are just fine, but that the culture of the Planning and Zoning Office is anti-growth, and that needs to change. Now, that's what we were told. We didn't have a single person say that land use regulation in Cook County is too loose, or that people have too much freedom to do stuff, and we need to tighten it up. So I want to see if we can't find that right, the proper balance.
Well, you've had one meeting on the 17th. Are you going to have some more inputs?
I would love to see more meetings of this same nature, which mm-hmm. are input-derived. There are additional meetings that are feedback on drafts of the plan. Mm-hmm. But I would be happy and certainly open to having more meetings where we just take input before we get to the process of...
Got a timetable on this plan?
I'm not. I'm just a member of the committee.
Right.
I think they wanted to get it done within a year. Mm-hmm. So, and it's going to be a real struggle. It's, as I said, taking the existing language, the framing in the 97 plan, and turning it into a good plan for 2014 to 2035 is extraordinarily difficult. So, and for me, it was informed by the GO team. Now, some of the others, like Sherry Baker, who's the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission, mm-hmm. Had a different perspective. We were at the end of this plan's natural life, and we needed to rewrite it. And she saw this, I don't think I'm putting words in her mouth, saw this as that task. I saw this coming out of the GO team as a need to fix something that was kind of broken. Mm-hmm. So we have that. We're on the same page as far as where we want to get to, but I saw a more urgent maybe. Even if we weren't at the end of the life of this plan, it would be necessary, in my view, to rewrite it, because there were some pretty significant deficiencies in the existing plan.
So was the input at the 17th meeting a help in that direction?
Yeah, I think it was, because, again, when people were saying, leave me alone, just let me live in the woods and all that, I think under that, what they were saying was, what the GO team was saying was, work with folks, be flexible, use common sense. Don't have any more of these cases where you've got one corner of a septic field that's, mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. I live up on Birch Drive, and until recently, the existing empty lots up there were not buildable because there wasn't sufficient native soil. Well, that all changed when the administration of the septic ordinance at the county changed. It oughtn't to be like that. I mean, it really oughtn't to be like that, where whether you can build on your land comes down to one person's interpretation of an ordinance, and an unreasonable interpretation of an ordinance.
Okay. Wish you had a solid opinion on this, Jim. But
if you want to know what I really feel...
call you at the chamber office, because we can't put it on the air.
We need a lot more public input. Yep. We need to hear from folks. The 50 folks who came out of this meeting was a really good start.
This is
important.
I think that this is the more we talk about it, the more people will come out, and the more input you'll get, and somehow or another something will come of this that will more closely represent what the public wants. But as you mentioned at the beginning here, you don't know what that is until the public tells you.
Yep, and we need them to tell us. And that's why we have the plan. Without this, people ask, why do we have a plan? Well, the planning and zoning are going to go on anyway.
Yep.
The plan is the way the public has an opportunity to affect the policies that govern that. Without that, it's just the bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats are mostly friends of mine, so they're good folks. But we need the public to have a say on how this is done. And that's what the land use plan serves as.
Okay. Jim Boyd's executive director of the Cook County Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Giving us an earful.
Yep. You're welcome.